Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
Welcome to Crosspoint.
We are an inclusive faith community
seeking to live out the loving, just, and generous way of Jesus.
We are participants in a long tradition
that's less concerned with doctrines and dogma that demand total agreement,
but a life to be lived, enjoyed, and given away to others.
What unites us is a growing awareness that life is precious,
that we are made by love in order to love.
This community is comprised of and affirms the entire human family,
regardless of race, age, creed,
physical abilities, marital or economic status,
gender identity, or sexual orientation.
So, if you are curious and have come to see,
if you are tired and have come to rest,
if you are grateful and have come to share,
if you are wounded and have come to heal,
if you are joyful and have come to celebrate,
if you are uprooted and have come to belong,
welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Hey, Crosspoint. So I grew up solidly American Protestant of the non-liturgical persuasion, and that meant there were only two big Christian days in our year, Christmas and Easter. And occasionally we would get a little wild and add in a special recognition of Maundy Thursday. Now, Crosspoint is probably obviously not of a liturgical persuasion either, but I know many of you come from a Catholic or more liturgical background, so the church calendar might be familiar to you. But until I became an adult and started to care about these things, I'm actually really embarrassed to say they were barely in my personal periphery. Well, a few months ago, I learned that in April 2000, Pope John Paul II declared the Sunday after Easter, that's today, Divine Mercy Sunday. And my first snarky thought was, if we only get one Sunday of mercy, we are all in a lot of trouble. But my second thought, and the one that caught my imagination and kept it, was the beauty of an entire day, and actually an entire feast, being devoted to mercy. So, as one does, I went down the rabbit hole. So bear with me just a few minutes if you've already got a good handle on the background of Divine Mercy Sunday. The Sunday of Divine Mercy was announced as this universal feast day, and it was connected to the canonization or the sainting of a Polish nun named Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, more commonly known as simply Saint Faustina. Now, Saint Faustina was born in 1905. She came from a very impoverished background. She was the third of 10 children, and she only had 3 years of education before she joined the convent at the age of 20. She was a mystic who had visions of Christ, who instructed her to devote her life to the ideas and the practices and the spreading of divine mercy. Now, Pope John Paul was also Polish, so perhaps it was this common history or heritage that created the connection he felt with Saint Faustina, but the Pope was also passionate about divine mercy throughout his life, so much so that he came to be called the Great Mercy Pope. He called mercy love's second name. And interestingly, but a side note, the most recent pope, Pope Francis, may he rest in peace, also wrote an entire book titled The Name of God is Mercy. So it seems like it's been at least a 25-year theme. So the stated purpose of Divine Mercy Sunday is to obtain mercy, to allow that mercy to transform us, and then to show mercy to others. But I was beginning to feel like I don't have a clear understanding of just what we mean when we use the word mercy. Because mercy seems to be one of those words that you know it when you see it, but can be a little difficult to describe. So maybe that's just me, but it put me on this mercy deep dive over the past several weeks. And my first thought was, my kids are all involved in a lot of athletics, and I'm really well aware of the mercy rule, which is when a team is winning by such a significant margin that the game is called, and this is to prevent unnecessary injury or humiliation of the other team. Athletes or teams often may say no mercy to be given to a particular grievous rival. But outside of athletics, and at the most basic level, small mercies surround us every day. In the beautiful blooms of spring, even with allergies, antihistamine itself can be a small mercy. In the opportunity to work, to sit in traffic, to make it home without an accident. In the taste of our coffee, the scent of the rain, that tiny sound of the bird outside the window. The sunset on our drive home, being surrounded by loved ones, even multiple choices at the grocery store. It is mercy when we receive what we have not earned, which, when you think about it, is pretty much just about everything that's really important. Everything I mentioned above, but also heartbeat and breath and love, forgiveness, ever-present mercy of just being alive. Each of these and many more can be considered mercies. Mercy, small and big, is something that we already experience. Sometimes we may even get around to distributing it to other people, although we might not even realize we've got it or we're giving it. According to the prophet Micah, mercy is supposed to be something we are to love. His verse says, "The Lord has shown you, O mortal, what is required of you. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God." So mercy seems to be something we might love to get, but we don't always care so much to give. Let's go on a short word study for a minute. As is often the case, there are multiple words in the ancient Christian texts, both Hebrew and Greek, that can be translated into just one English word, mercy. Eleos is the Greek word most commonly translated as mercy in English. Eleos describes someone's compassionate treatment of another person, especially when they have the power to punish or to harm. Mercy is this choice to care instead. It's an action. In the Hebrew Bible, mercy comes from two main words, although there's a few more. Chesed is the Hebrew word most often translated as mercy or compassion into English. It's the steadfast covenant love, the loyal love of God to people, of people to God, and of people to one another. It is undeserved kindness and generosity. It is God as promise keeper, a commitment to love and stand by someone no matter their failings. And chesed, again, is not so much of a feeling as it is an action and a choice. So the other word often translated into the English word mercy is the Hebrew word rachamim. And we translate it in English as mercy, sometimes compassion or loving kindness, just to broaden the understanding a little bit. But even that doesn't impart its depth. Its root word, rachem, is a homonym. Rachem can mean either mercy or womb. So let's get into the weeds a little bit more. The Hebrew letters for rachem are resh, which depicts a person bent over either in humility or subservience, but a person. The second letter, chet, is associated with the concept of a fence, embodying the idea of being surrounded and protected. And the last letter is a closed mem, and it's an image of water or waves, and mems at the end of a word are closed. And because of that, it can also symbolize something being hidden. So these three Hebrew letters depicted together, resh, chet, and a closed mem, they convey the concept of womb, a person hidden in water, surrounded and protected, or someone surrounding and protecting something. And this is also rachamim, womb mercy, unconditional, deep, unexplainable love that a parent might have for their child, that a mother has before they've even met their child, seen their personality, felt their temper tantrums, sickness, teenage years, and everything else that comes with being human. They're already loved. This mercy love that surrounds, shields, and protects, it's the unconditional mothering protection of God. And both chesed and rachamim are considered essential characteristics, core characteristics of God. God keeps God's promise of unconditional covenant love, and God's mothering womb, mercy, shields, protects, and loves unconditionally. And even though we might not realize it because of the way we translate things, these two words are often used together in the Bible. So Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with chesed and rachamim, most tender affections, God's mercy is a crown made from the jewels of both covenant and affection. And Lamentations does something similar. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great chesed, we are not consumed. For his rachamim never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercy, rachamim, remains steady, regardless of the circumstances or the outcomes, which is chesed. Chesed and rachamim are who God is. And remember, according to Micah, they're who we are supposed to be too, or at least what we're supposed to try to love and to cultivate. One of the more touted examples of God's mercy character, of both chesed and rachamim, is the story of Hagar. Although the narrative doesn't actually ever use those words, the concept is understood. Hagar was a servant slave of Sarai, Abraham's wife, and later we would more commonly refer to this couple as Sarah and Abraham, and this story can be found in the book of Genesis. The text doesn't tell us much about Hagar, her past, or how she became to be enslaved. We're only sure of her present circumstances and as her otherness as an Egyptian woman. And one meaning of her name, Hagar, is actually stranger. You may have heard her story. Sarai and Abram had no children. They were old enough to be great-grandparents, and so they didn't really expect any. But Abram was told by God that their descendants would one day outnumber the stars. And so Sarai and Abram waited, and they waited, and they waited. And Sarai's biological clock ticked louder and louder, and the pregnancy tests kept coming back negative. So Sarai thought maybe they misunderstood and they were supposed to help God out a bit. And so Sarai used Hagar for her own reproductive purposes, and she offered Hagar to her husband so that they might conceive a child, which would fulfill God's promise, which, in her defense, wasn't okay, but it wasn't a totally uncommon practice at that time. And Hagar, of course, had no choice in the matter. Dr. Will Gaffney calls her a womb slave. Abram didn't argue with the plan. And things went just about as you might expect. Hagar became pregnant, but it wasn't really a happy sister-wives situation. Sarai became jealous and began abusing Hagar to the point that Hagar ran away to give birth to her child in the desert. And while she was there, thirsty and alone and almost guaranteed to die in the wild, like Abram and Sarai, Hagar, the stranger, was visited by the divine messengers of a God Hagar didn't know or recognize. And she was promised a child that would, like Abram and Sarai, make her the outsider, the mother of multitudes. That's pretty much what happened, God being a promise keeper and all. Hagar eventually gave birth to Ishmael, whose descendants became the Ishmaelites, which are considered early Arab tribes. And Islam also recognizes Ishmael as a forefather of their religion. So after all the promises of her survival and a brighter future, Hagar wanted to put a name to the God who had come to her at one of the worst moments of her life and shown her mercy. Hagar, the enslaved stranger, the other, became the only person in the Bible to name God. Hagar named them El Roy, meaning the God who sees me. And she declared, I now have seen the one who sees me. Perhaps that's really what mercy is, seeing and being seen. The Mercy Pope, Pope John Paul II, his writings are said to have contributed to the saying, mercy is to be seen and loved anyway. Mercy is to be seen and loved anyway. What a proclamation attributed to the writings of someone who had seen the horrors Pope John Paul had in his youth. The future pope was only 19 when his home country of Poland fell to the Nazi regime and triggered the start of World War II. Saint Faustina had died a year earlier in 1938 at the age of 33. After its occupation by the Third Reich, Poland was divided between Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. And both occupying countries had goals of eradicating Polish culture and subjugating its people. Over 21% of the Polish population died as a result of the Nazi occupation. Half were ethnic Poles, and the other half were Polish Jews. John Paul's hometown was about 20 miles from the Auschwitz concentration camp, and he grew up witnessing firsthand the disappearance of his Jewish friends and neighbors. And yet, even with all that, he spent his life calling for divine mercy. Mercy is to be seen and loved anyway. I still have a lot to learn about mercy. Mercy, chesed, committed undeserved love and generosity. Mercy, rachamim, unconditional mothering, loving kindness, to be truly seen in all our good and bad and ugly and loved, no strings attached, no exceptions anyway. To love that, to allow it to transform us, how we see ourselves and others, and then to offer that mercy to others, that's hard and beautiful. And it really has the potential to change things. Father Ed Dowling, a priest who spent much of his ministry coming alongside those with serious addictions, said that heaven is just a new pair of glasses. Whew. Perhaps us offering mercy to others and to ourselves starts with first practicing sight, recognizing that we, like Hagar, have been seen and loved, and therefore should see and love. Or maybe being loved, being given mercy, has nothing to do with being seen. Mothering mercy God loves us anyway. And covenant mercy God isn't going to stop. And when we understand this, we can understand mercy. And we're more likely to come out of our shadows, to take off our masks, and to make ourselves seen. Believing that we are worthy of receiving mercy and love is hard enough. But offering it to others, that's downright difficult. People are hard. That means rechecking our vision and grabbing a new pair of glasses. Anne Lamott, teacher and author, writes, "Mercy means that we no longer constantly judge everybody's large and tiny failures, foolish hearts, dubious convictions, and inevitable bad behavior. But we'll never do this perfectly. But how do we do it better? How do we mostly hold people we've encountered with the understanding of a wise, caring mother who has seen it all, knows that we all struggle, knows that on the inside we're as vulnerable as a colony of rabbits?" To be clear, practicing mercy doesn't mean just excusing bad behavior. It just means recognizing that we have been given that which we did not earn. And therefore, maybe we could practice giving other people at least some of the same break. And I know some of us, or probably all of us at some point in our lives, just ask for mercy to begin with. We want a break. Steve, our teaching pastor, reminded me of a quote by Ram Dass, the yoga instructor. "When you go out into the woods and you look at the trees, you see all these different trees. And some of them are bent, and some of them are straight, and some of them are evergreens, and some of them are whatever. And you look at the tree and you allow it. You see why it is the way it is. You sort of understand that it didn't get enough light, and so it turned out that way. And you don't get all emotional about it. You appreciate the tree. The minute you get near humans, you lose all that. And you're constantly saying, 'You are to this,' or 'I'm to this.' That judgment mind comes in. And so I practice people turning into trees, which means appreciating them just the way they are." So I don't know if this is what the former Pope meant when he designated today as Divine Mercy Sunday, but I know this is how I'm choosing to understand it. Divine mercies have been shown to us everywhere. In the small everyday ways, in chesed and rachamim, mercy will have the last word in the end, because mercy is love's second name, and love has the last word. Being seen and being loved anyway. Seeing and loving anyway. Perhaps this is the greatest mercy.
If you would like to know more or get connected to Crosspoint, go to crosspoint.org. If you're in need of care or assistance, go to crosspoint.org/care. And welcome home.